Alternative Radio.
Hello there, folks, and thank you for listening to the show.
I'm Joanna.
I'm Nate, and this is Stranger Than. Today, we have a variety of things to tell you. None of them are overly important, but they're certainly strange. So, why don't we start... Well, let's see here. How about we start with a little bit of sex?
Let's start with the sex, because I've got mostly, like, dead things to talk about. Oh, okay. So, you know.
Well, this,
let's do the hot stuff before the not stuff.
This is spicy. This is from apnews.com.
Uh-huh.
From Germany.
Okay.
Man rescued from woods after sex game goes awry.
Oh, dear.
Berlin AP. German police say a 51-year-old man who was left tied up in the woods when a sex game went awry had a lucky escape after a cyclist and a hunter heard his screams for help. Police said the man was discovered fully dressed but firmly bound with ropes and a pantyhose over his head atop a deer hunting platform near the town of Brookburg Lake Wednesday. In a statement Friday, police said the man appeared to have been tied up by a woman he met online. After she had done so, the woman received a phone call and fled the woods suddenly, leaving the man behind in a helpless state.
You know, I feel like we've heard stuff like this before, like, you know, just sex games in the woods gone awry. Like, just, you know, don't go out to the woods, sir.
Maybe always have a small knife on you so you can cut yourself free, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The 51-year-old told officers that he had a box cutter on him for such situations, but seemed to have underestimated the woman's bondage skills because he was unable to reach the knife, police said. The man was unharmed and refused to provide information about the woman's identity. Police have opened an investigation of her on suspicion of failure to render assistance and possible deprivation of liberty.
I can just imagine her, like, tying him up, like, and with, like, a thick German accent, too, you know?
Oh, she's probably speaking in German, because, you know.
Probably speaking in German, but,
it was in Germany.
In my head, I hear her speaking English with a German accent.
Right, right.
Because, you know, yeah.
Like Frau Farbischener or whatever from Austin Powers.
Yes.
Apparently, what I find is interesting is that the cops are going after her. One of the things they're going after her for is failure to render assistance. So in Germany, if you don't help someone who's obviously in need, you can be prosecuted for it, apparently.
Wow.
Which is, like, kind of cool, I guess. It's like, no, you gotta help. You gotta help. But
well, I kind of like that. I kind of like that it, you know, you're obligated to help others in situations. Not just morally, but legally.
Yeah, right. So I guess the moral of the story is keep your box cutter closer.
I love that he actually did have a box cutter
right
on him.
I mean,
for
I always have
that
a Swiss Army knife on me. Not because I, you know, am doing bondage in the woods or anything, but just, you know, it's a handy tool to have.
Right.
So yeah.
Well, I'm
trying not
glad
to get
that...
tied up in the woods, I guess.
Oh, geez.
Another interesting story I have that has, it's sort of sex adjacent.
Okay.
This is from usnews.com. Extinct bird re-evolved itself back into existence.
Oh, geez, I hate birds.
Once the bird became extinct, it only took 20,000 years for it to return and evolve into a flightless bird again. Basically, what it was is there's this bird that's called the Aldabra Rail, and it's named after the Aldabra Atoll where it lives. It's the last surviving native flightless bird in the Indian Ocean region at all. And it is descended from a flying white-throated rail, and they think that the reason that it no longer flies is because it didn't have any predators, and so there was like, well, we're fine. That's why kiwis are flightless, is because they just didn't have predators. And there's like a niche you can fill as like kind of a like a rodent kind of niche you can fill in that as being a flightless bird. So fossils of the Ulladabra rail have been discovered dating back 136,000 years ago, but this island was submerged by the ocean. So it just went underwater, and that's why this critter went extinct, is because, well, it had no place to live anymore. Once the bird became extinct after the flood, it took 20,000 years for the white-throated rail to return and evolve into the flightless Ulladabra bird again. So it came, the island came back or something, and then the bird just re-evolved on it. Like, no, this is fine. We remember this. And so they find, and they know this because they find fossils of this bird way long ago, and then it matches the new like bones they find of this bird that's here now, and there's like nothing in between. That they don't find anything in between, like the fossil record stops and then it picks up again, and so it's just a fucking weird thing, you know. Life finds a way.
You know what I wish would come back from extinction is the dodo bird.
I knew you were going to say that.
You knew that?
Do you know anything about the dodo?
I don't. I just know that it'd be fun to fucking play some croquet with them, like Alice in Wonderland.
Maybe. Maybe it would. Maybe it would. So why don't you tell us some stuff, Joanna? What you got for us?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about a lake in India, the Rupkunz Lake, also known as Skeleton Lake, also known as Mystery Lake.
Wow.
Yes, my...
There's Scoob and the gang there?
My sources, Nature.com, GreekReporter.com, BBC.com, TribuneIndia.com. Well, Rupkunz Lake, a.k.a. Skeleton Lake, a.k.a. Mystery Lake, number one, does sound like a place where the Mystery Mobile would pull up to and the gang would hop out.
Mystery Machine.
The Mystery Machine. I always do that. I always call the Mystery Mobile.
And you just sound like a fool when you do that, Joanna.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you've made me look a fool just through, you know, association.
Okay. I apologize. Yeah, Scoob and the gang would definitely hop out and be like, you know, what's going on here? Well, what is going on down there at Mystery Lake is that there is like a shit ton of human bones scattered about like the shores of the lake and in the lake and probably like underneath the lake. It is way up in the middle of fucking nowhere in the Himalayan mountain range. It's about 5,000 meters or 16,400 feet above sea level. It sits at the bottom of a steep slope on Trisul, which is one of India's highest mountains. And it's in the state of Uttarakhand. The lake is not very huge. It's only 40 meters or 131 feet across and only about 3 meters or 10 feet deep. Like how I did all my meters to shit to feet conversion there. Meters to shit.
Meters to shit.
Meters to shit. Well, I'm sure that's what the rest of the world, you know, thinks of it as, since, you know, we have to be the lone rebels that don't use the fucking metric system.
I think a lot of places use like feet for how tall people are.
I just can't imagine trying to describe how tall somebody is in meters, you know, like what is he, 3.6, 3.4 meters? I mean, that's just, my mind cannot think that way.
Well, that's because we are raised with the American way of doing things, being Americans and all.
It's true. It's just a meter is such a like a large like unit compared to a foot.
It is.
So
it's like it's a little bit over 3 feet, mm-hmm. isn't it? Or is that a yard?
I have no fucking idea. I mean, the lake is 3 meters, which equals to like 9.8, you know, feet deep.
Oh, yeah, so it is three and change. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, this unsettling discovery was first made in 1942 when a British forest ranger was out there, and there was apparently the lake was kind of gurgling, and he made his way down the steep ass slope to the lake, and like, what do you know, there's like human fucking bones everywhere.
Just
yeah. And a lone British patroller was understandably pretty freaked out, and he rushed back to the, you know, wherever the British government had their base out there, because of course this was 1942 and it was still
Ball deep in World War II.
Yeah, ball deep in World War II, and that was like one thing that the British government freaked out about initially with all the discovery of all these bodies, was that maybe they thought maybe it was Japanese soldiers that were, like, coming to try and invade.
Japanese,
yeah,
eh?
Well, because, you know,
oh, yeah, it was in India. Know,
yeah, they're in India, right, yeah. And they were maybe going to be trying to, like, invade Tibet at the time, and thought, like, maybe they had been caught in some sort of, like, natural disaster and had
perished.
Yeah,
Hitler was into Tibet. And so, you know, I'm sure he wanted the Empire of Japan to get it, because he wanted to... He liked Tibetans, too. He was super into
was
them.
Was he?
Which is weird. Yeah.
I mean, he was into some weird shit. So, I mean, it's
No, he's like, I don't know. I don't like any of you people who aren't, you know, white, except for the Tibetans. Like, they're fine. But the rest of you guys can go fuck yourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, all right. All right, Hitler.
Hitler. What a fucking dick, dude.
Yeah, really.
So,
to put it lightly.
Since India was still under the rule of the British Empire, you know, like, sucks for India still at the time.
Yeah.
They dispatched some scientists, like, immediately to, like, figure out, like, okay, where are all these, were these, like, skeletons of Japanese soldiers coming to invade India and Tibet, and... yeah. So they remove approximately 300 skeletons from the area.
Jesus.
Yes, and likely there's probably an additional, they estimate probably another like 600 bodies in and around and under the lake, aside from the 300 that they moved. But they did an analysis and were like, okay, well, you know, no need to panic. These bones are old as fuck.
These people weren't dead recently.
Right. They have been dead for a really, really long time. But that was really all that they did. I mean, they didn't really have good carbon dating back at the time. And they're, you know, in the middle of a war going on. So that was about all that was ever done with the skeletons for quite some time. The only thing that was maybe notable is, okay, the bones were really old, and it didn't appear to be any babies or children amongst all the hundreds of...
So just all full-grown human beings.
Mm-hmm. Just a bunch of grown-ass dead adults. I mean, theories were...
Grown-ass dead motherfuckers.
Theories were that there was, you know, a whole bunch of people... traveling for something, perhaps a pilgrimage, because it's not on a trade route, but it is on a route that area is on a route that people actually do pilgrimages like every 12 years. I'll get a little more into that, but thought maybe they were caught in some sort of catastrophic natural event, like, you know, that can happen a lot out there in the Himalayas. And, or even could have been,
Yeti attack.
You know, some sort of a disease thing where, like, you know, a bunch of people, like, died of plague and they dumped all these bodies down into the lake at some point. So, yeah, those were kind of the general accepted theories. But in 2004, a group of scientists were like, hey, let's take a closer look and see if we can really figure out, like, what the fucking fuck is up with all these dead bodies in this one really remote area. So they did some, like, you know, really, like, fancy science shit. And what they took 38 bodies, and they did, like, you know, full on like DNA mapping and all that, you know, kind of sciencey shit that I'm, you know,
yeah. all that magic.
Yeah. And tried to, you know, not only like date the bones, but figure out like, okay, like who were these like people? Who were they like genetically related to? And the results were somewhat surprising. So seems that the skeletons of the Rupkund Lake belong to three genetically distinct groups of people that were deposited during multiple events and separated in time by approximately 1,000 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just in a convenient lake to dump a body, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah. So, like, the first group, there was 23 individuals that had ancestry that fell in the range of variation of present day South Asians. And then 14 had ancestry typical of the Eastern Mediterranean. So other words, like Greeks, like they're fucking right. Greek people. And then also in that group of the, there was like an additional one that was Southeast Asian related ancestry. Now, the 23 that were the South Asian ancestry, those bones were old as fuck. They estimated that they were from about 800 CE. So, yeah.
Wow. Those are real. That's, I mean, that's
really,
fucking
really old. But yeah, that's old as fuck. It might have been, they might have been deposited in as many as three or four events that spanned like 300 years. Now, the other group, which included, you know, the Greeks and then the one Southeast Asian, those dated to between the 17th and 20th century, but the data bar and the study puts them all basically right at about the late 1800s is what it was dated to, and seemed to be more like a singular event type situation where they all perished in the late 1800s.
Just a one time.
Yeah, just a one time deal. So, very weird. Very weird.
Yeah.
Now, there is a local legend and even a Himalayan song that talks of a group of people who infuriated the goddess of the mountain, because they were going to pay pilgrimage, which usually the pilgrims go to the Nanda Devi mountain. And Nanda is the Hindu goddess of bliss. And they really pissed her off because they brought in like soldiers and dancing women and were basically getting up to a bunch of shenanigans during the pilgrimage that they should not have been. And Nanda punished them by hurling hailstones at them, which were hard as iron. Now, weirdly enough, there are several skeletons that show signs of blunt force trauma to the head. And mostly from like above, like something hit the top of their head, like really, really hard.
Pop.
And then there's like kind of like round indents at like, you know, the front part of the skull. So basically as if they were killed by giant hailstorm pellets. You know,
right.
Maybe even as hard as iron. You know, like that ice can get pretty fucking, you know, that's hard.
And when it's falling, mm-hmm. I mean, it reaches terminal velocity and then ow.
So perhaps the legend is not, you know, so much local folklore and legend as like maybe like a real thing that did happen to at least one group of people many, many hundreds of years ago out there on the pilgrimage. And they were, you know, slaughtered by hailstones on their way to the Nanda Devi.
Freaking weird.
So that is one theory for the really old ones. The ones where something happened in like the 1800s to the Greeks and the Southeast Asian dude or lady. Nobody can really
I'm not sure that's exactly like
something
I don't know
of a mystery too, because it would be very unusual for it would be very unusual at the time for somebody of those that descent and during that time to have been, you know, practicing like Hindus and doing like a Hindu pilgrimage out there in the middle of the Himalayas. It's just kind of weird. And there's no local folklore or legends or stories or anything even written down or in the papers or nothing around that time. Speaking of like a large group of foreigners disappearing in the Himalayan mountains, there's basically nothing. It's just a big mystery as to why they were out there and how they died. Circumstances unknown. The only thing they could really say about them was that they were all
they were dead,
but they all seemed to be, you know, from what they can gather from the bones, they seem to be like healthy at the time of their death. So, there's that.
Up until their death.
Yeah. Really nothing but a bunch of bones out there. And it's, there's not a whole lot around to, you know, not a lot of other archaeological evidence to gather out there because there's a lot of landslides in that area, number one. Number two, people do go out on that road for the pilgrimage, and I guess, you know, it's been pretty picked through over the years, the areas. I mean, I know they have found, like, you know, like jewelry and other trinkets and stuff like that, but nothing else really to, no other kind of evidence to, shed some light on why they were out there and what might have happened. So probably going to just remain a strange ass mystery, but you know, there you have it. So yeah, plenty of bones out there still at Skeleton Lake. So if you're out in the Himalayas and you want to see something creepy, you can really only see the skeletons though. I mean, the lake is frozen over for much of the year. It's only when it thaws out that the skeletons kind of start bobbing up and, the snow melts away and kind of uncovers a lot of the bones that are around the shore. And yeah. So you want to go see something fucking gnarly, then there you go.
Yeah. Go find that fucking lake. Yeah. See some
Skeleton Lake. It's a thing.
That's wild.
Yeah, pretty crazy, huh?
That is fucking crazy. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I did have some other things involving, like, dead bodies, just because, found a...
Well, let's talk about cryptids for a quick second.
Okay.
As it turns out, I mean, which no one anywhere is shocked by, is Washington State is the... In number one place, people see Sasquatch.
Yes.
It's been spotted 700 times so far.
This year?
Yeah. So, interestingly, in the Pacific Northwest, this also includes a bit of Oregon, the cities that Sasquatch sightings happen a lot in are Tacoma, Seattle, Bellevue, and Portland, which I think is weird because you don't really see Sasquatch in cities.
Right, like Tacoma, really?
I mean, been to all of those cities. I feel like that's maybe where the people have come from for the most part.
Yeah.
But also, that's not a big shock because those are like the four biggest cities if you head like from Bellevue down on the West Coast anyway.
Right.
So.
Hey, I mean, Sasquatch would stick out like a sore thumb in Bellevue, that's for sure. I mean...
Yeah.
It's very fancy in Bellevue. I used to work there every day. Very, very fancy. I mean, Tacoma, maybe it might blend in with some of the locals. I don't know.
Apparently, there's actually four cities in Washington State that are in the top 100 for paranormal activity. Seattle's 18th.
Okay.
Spokane is 50th.
All right.
Tacoma is 56th. And Vancouver is 78.
Well, that's weird that Vancouver is lower than Tacoma, because I would think just the smell of Tacoma alone would, like, put, like, the aliens off.
Scare the ghosts out. Like, no, we don't want nothing to do with that.
Hell no. Do you know, though, that there is a place in Topeka that has an even worse smell than Tacoma? And I am so glad that I didn't, like, accidentally buy a fucking house out there in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's worse. Yeah. I mean, I used to think, like, the worst thing ever would be living in Tacoma with the fucking paper mill smell. No. Oddly enough.
You see, the past few times I've been through that area, it doesn't smell anymore.
No, I don't know. So, it depends. I mean, it depends on the day. Just, like, you can drive through this area of Topeka, yeah, and it can be just fine. But then other times, it was like, what the fuck? The first time I drove through it, I was with my neighbor heading to a house there to pick up some, like, wood or something for, like, a project at my house. And I literally thought I had run over something, like, dead in the road. Like, the car just filled with, like, dead animal smell, practically.
Right.
Yeah, and what it is I think, rotten potatoes. It's from the Frito-Lay factory, okay?
Oh.
Okay, and so it's chips and, like, I guess the oil and, like, rotten potatoes. Rotten potatoes stink fucking bad. I have thought many times that my cats, like, killed something in the house and, like, hid it somewhere and something's, like,
and just found a rotten potato.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about those, like, few potatoes I had in my cupboard. And that was the smell. And that is the smell that permeates, like, the, you know, the north part of Topeka in the area that the Frito-Lay factory is in. And I am just glad as fuck that I did not accidentally move there. Because, I mean, I could have gone there on a good day and been like, yeah, let me buy the house, you know?
Like, oh, no, this is lovely. Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah, only to discover,
nice house,
like, what the fuck is that fucking smell? Because when it is there, and it is fucking horrible. Oh, my God.
All-encompassing. It permeates everything.
Yeah, fun fact.
Soaks the inside of your...
Yeah, do your research before you buy a home and make sure, like, find out what factories are in the area. And let me tell you, if it is a Frito-Lay factory, do not buy. Do not.
Right, yeah. Stay away from...
Stay away from Frito-Lay.
I bet most manufacturers... So where I work, there are a couple places that process weed in some way. And so every year, like, all the time when I'm at work, it just reeks like weed.
Mm-hmm, but that's a nice smell.
Just constantly. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. But it's just, like, unexpected. It wasn't always like that.
Nope, definitely not. Definitely not. But yeah, that rotting potato smell, so bad.
Not a fan of that. Well, I'll remember that. No rotting potatoes. Don't live a little close to Frito-Lays.
Mm-mm. You will regret it.
Yeah, every time, every day. Well, let's see here. I've got another one from the National Cryptid Society. Cryptid encounter in Stanford. Eyewitnesses describe a winged humanoid in the cornfields of Kentucky. This is from January 21st, 2023. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the word cryptid as an animal whose existence or survival is disputed or unsubstantiated, such as the Yeti. For the following witnesses to living cryptids, there is no dispute. In this series of National Cryptid Society's case files, you will read what the witnesses have experienced in their own words. Keep an open mind when reading these accounts, and also remember one's perception and memory of an event can be influenced by the emotions felt at the time of the occurrence. The contributors of this series of articles are doing the best they can to recount what are, in some cases, very shocking and traumatic experiences. Sighting of a mysterious winged creature in Stanford, Kentucky, has locals questioning the unknown. Is it a bird, a bat, or something else entirely?
Superman, perhaps?
I don't know. It was in Stanford, Kentucky, that this was occurred on William Whitley Road, Stanford, Kentucky, and it's the home of William Whitley State Historic House and Park. The sighting occurred was like summertime of 2018, July or August. My 17-year-old son Ryder and his friend Heather were walking to town from our house on William Whitley Road in Stanford, Kentucky. It was around 1:30 a.m. in either July or August of 2018. They made it to the end of our road, which is about a quarter mile from our house, when they heard commotion in the cornfield that runs the length of half our house on the opposite side of our house and ends at the end of the road. Ryder turned to see a humanoid figure come running very fast out of the cornfield, then take flight with huge, thin-looking wings. He said he could hear its huge wings flapping and watched as it landed on the top of the T-post of the last electric pole on the end of our road. He grabbed Heather's arm and told her to turn around and look at it. She was already in tears and didn't want to turn around and see it, although she heard exactly what he did. But he told her there was no way he was going to be the only one to see it, so as he got her to turn around and look, it went from a standing position on two legs to a crouching position on the top of the post and folded its wings into itself and just crouched there silently watching them. They both said it looked as though when standing it stood around 7 feet tall and had very thick looking legs and body. But as they were about 1,000 to 1,500 feet away and it was dark out, they couldn't make out any facial features except that its skin looked like a dark gray color. Not knowing what to do and definitely not wanting to turn around and come back home because they would have to move in the direction the creature was in, they had no other option but to turn their backs to the creature and continue toward town. They stood staring at it and it at them for about 2 to 3 minutes, trying to decide what to do before they started walking back toward town. They said the thing never moved and just sat crouched on the pole, watching them until they were finally out of sight of it. The whole time, my son kept looking back to make sure it wasn't coming toward them. Heather was too afraid to turn back and look toward it.
Sounds like a gargoyle or something.
I know, right? Apparently, I mean, the critters in the area, like, it couldn't be one of those critters. There's deer, wild turkeys, raccoons. There's all kinds of birds, bluebirds, ducks, but, I mean, nothing huge, I guess. There are these giant-ass eagles called harpy eagles that vaguely resemble a person, but, I mean, they don't have arms and legs.
you know?
They're just a fucking eagle.
And their wings aren't, like, leathery either. Like, they're feathered.
Yeah, they're feathered wings. So, yeah, that's a fucking a weird ass thing.
That's creepy as fuck. I would totally be Heather in tears, not wanting to look at it.
Yeah, no shit.
It's like, no.
No shit.
No.
And I also didn't realize that Stanford was in Kentucky.
Well, there's a lot of Stanfords, you know.
Oh, yeah, it's probably not the Stanford.
Yeah, the Stanford is in Connecticut, I believe.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Yep.
That makes sense. They don't have Ivy League schools except for in the East Coast, right?
Yes, and yeah. Like it's in the Northeast.
Northeast,
you know?
Not...
I don't think there's any Ivy League schools in Kentucky.
No. I'm not sure if they allow schools in Kentucky. I've never really seen any, like, huge cryptid thing like that. I don't think I'd like it, really.
No, I... definitely would not enjoy that at all. Something that's like, you know, like a giant fucking bat that, you know, but is also like maybe kind of like humanoid too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fucking like gargoyle or some kind of like fucking.
Yeah. With the gray skin.
Yeah.
And...
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that totally reminds me of gargoyle.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's some fucking horror shit movie right there. You know, horror movie shit right there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Horror shit movie.
Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say.
Why don't you tell us about some more... I know what you're trying to say. Why don't you tell us about some more dead bodies, Joanna?
Okay, well, funny that the gargoyle is mentioned because, okay, that does come up in one of these short, horrifying stories that Ranker.com was kind enough to gather from the recesses of Reddit world, you know, on the internets. And
yeah,
so they collected a bunch of stories from people that are morticians or no morticians of some of the weirdest shit that's come into their morgue. So from Redditor back to back, says the Undertaker had to prepare a woman for viewing at a wake who had been killed by a gargoyle falling from the tower of an old church and making a direct hit. Apparently, it did extensive damage, the kind that took him several days of reconstructive preparatory work.
Wow.
Yeah. Always makes me think of, like, 6 feet under. Like, especially, like, that yeah. one, like, head smash episode where that lady was, you know, standing up out of the limo.
Right.
They had to call in Rico to to work on that one.
I forgot about that.
Yep. Ah. Another one says, this is from Redditor ED98208. The weirdest and most puzzling case was a man in his late 60s who died of a pulmonary embolism as a result of crushing his own penis in a vice.
Oh.
I've tried to think of ways it could have happened accidentally, like naked woodworking, or what his thought process could have possibly been.
It's impossible for you to do that on accident.
Oh, yeah, dude. And why would you do that, though? Jesus Christ.
Some people have, like, dysmorphia, I guess, to a really extreme case.
Yeah.
Where they want to harm themselves. I don't know.
Ouch.
I don't know how. I just don't think it could happen on accident.
No.
That seems pretty much absolutely impossible.
Yeah. Yep. From the Modern Mortician, a lady ate herself to death on 5 containers of Duncan Hines frosting. Neighbors saw her for 2 days sitting in her fave chair. Then finally someone checked on her. She was dead with a container of frosting in her lap and 4 empties on the floor around her chair. Her chin had frosting on it, too. Her mother revealed she had gastric bypass 5 months prior. So if you've had gastric bypass surgery, like, first of all, you're not supposed to eat that much. But second of all, 5 is the number of Duncan Hines cans that, you know, like, if you... 4 is the number that I guess you can eat before you die. But if you have that 5th one, like, you're a goner.
Just, like, what pops all the stitches on the inside and you just...
Yep.
Just bleed, like, burst. Internally bleed out?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Mm-hmm.
God damn.
Yeah. 5 can. Gotta love that Duncan Hines frosting. I mean, it is delicious, but...
I don't even know what that is.
You know, it's just the frosting in the can, like when you're making a cake. Like the Betty Crocker, you know, like the tub of frosting. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got the Betty Crocker, and then they got the Duncan Hines are the 2 major brands at the grocery store, so...
And the Duncan Hines is... better, or
I guess she liked it. I tend to prefer the Betty Crocker, but you know, that's just me. But Duncan Hines also pretty
maybe
delicious.
That's because it's us Northwesterners.
Yeah. Next up, my brother told me about a case where a guy got into a car wreck and ended up being ejected out the windshield. When the police and first responders showed up, he was sitting outside the car in shock, but seemed absolutely fine other than some scratches and a broken arm. A miracle, really. But as soon as the EMT lifted him up to give him a more thorough examination, the guy immediately collapsed and stopped breathing. They rushed him to the hospital where he died, but they couldn't pinpoint what caused his sudden death. My brother performed the autopsy and discovered that the guy, when he was launched from the car, had been penetrated via rectum by a small sapling. When the guy was sitting down, he was still in shock and probably didn't notice. But when the EMT stood him up, the sapling most likely perforated his bowel and destroyed his internal organs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that one, like, legit made me, like, wanna barf.
Wow,
like,
man.
No. Just no.
Death by anal.
Uh-huh. Ugh. Just, that's just terrible. That's just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Redditor Hermarine had this to say. Not a mortician or EMT, cop, fire, etc. Just a dad who chaperoned his 15-year-old kid for their class tour of the local county sheriff's department forensics department. Kids were morbidly curious as to why this car with front-end damage and no back windshield was in the warehouse. The tech offhandedly said that a guy committed suicide by kicking out the back window, tied a long rope to a tree, ran the rope through the empty window, tied it around his neck, and then floored it across this field, decapitating himself when the rope snapped taut.
Didn't that happen in a movie or a show?
Probably so, but apparently...
I think that did.
This guy did it in real life. You know, thought of a very creative way to kill himself.
Yeah.
And last but not least, Constant Terror had this to say: not a mortician, had a very bizarre case of death in my apartment building. On the second floor, there lived a completely crazy old hag. She would stand on the balcony naked from the waist down, throw shit at people below, loudly swear at anybody she met. Almost killed me with a glass jar to the head, missed me by inches when I was walking out of the building. And she somehow had gotten herself a 70-year-old lover who lived with her, God knows why. Anyhow, there was a sudden lull in her appearances, and after a while, her neighbors noticed an unbearable stench coming out of her flat. Police got involved, they broke down the door, and inside was a very horrifying scene. There on the bed was she and her lover. She was dead for 2 weeks. Her lover was dead for at least 3 months.
Wow.
Apparently, she kept his death secret to receive his retirement benefits using documents and slept with his corpse in the same bed. And the flat itself, it was just a garbage dump with meter-high piles of rags, refuse, and rubbish laying around. And in the center of the room, there stood a big, 50 kilograms at least, open tub of dairy butter.
Huh.
Yeah. I mean, as if it wasn't disgusting enough, like, that is just, like, the icing on the cake, actually. The big, giant tub of butter in the middle of the dead bodies and shit and garbage.
Sounds...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gross.
Glad I didn't have to do cleanup on that side, I tell you what.
Yeah, no shit. Ugh. No shit.
So there you go. Hopefully you guys have some lovely imagery in your heads now.
Decapitations. Yeah, be careful, you know.
Crushed penises, perforated rectums from sapling trees, and the giant tub of butter, you know. Yeah.
Well, Joanna, you know, I just got to say that three new albums have come out by three artists that I like.
Okay.
And they're all good albums. The Smashing Pumpkins released an album called Autumn.
Holy shit.
ATUM.
Are they all
like
even alive in that band still?
Yeah, they're all still alive.
Billy Corgan? And, Billy Corgan was Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, holy shit. Well, that's pretty, that you know, for like
a really
big
good album.
Alternative it's... 90s band, that's major for all the members to still be living.
Yeah, no shit. it's a 3-disc or 33-song rock opera.
Wow.
Starring the characters from Zero from Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness.
Okay.
And I believe Shiny from, I can't remember what album, Machina something or other. An album I'm not super familiar with. But anyway, it's a really good album. So I highly recommend that. The new Depeche Mode album is also very good.
Nice.
And then the new Jethro Tull album is also very good.
Okay. Yeah, those are all some familiar names out there releasing new shit.
I would hope so, because they've all been making music for over 2 decades apiece.
Well, yes, but I mean, I just haven't, you know, they're obviously very familiar, but I just haven't heard of, you know, new stuff coming from any one of them for quite some time.
Oh, yeah,
so,
the Smashing Pumpkins, apparently this is their 12th album.
Wow.
Like, they've just been, like, releasing albums, and, like, I didn't fucking know about it, so.
Clearly, I didn't either.
Yeah, so, you know. But their new one is really good. It's really good.
Gosh, I think the last Depeche Mode album I bought was, like, Ultra.
Oh, but they've come out with several albums since then. They're on sort of a Star Trek thing where their every other album is good.
Okay, gotcha.
And this one's a pretty good one. So, yeah. All right, so I guess that's all we got for you guys. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/strangerthanpodcast. For $2 a month, you can get ad-free episodes. For $5 a month, you can get a bonus true crime episode where Joanna tells you awful shit about awful people. You can take a listen to us at ageofradio.org/strangerthan. There's also a whole bunch of other podcasts on that site you can take a listen to. You can stream it all from that site or find them on whatever podcatcher you use. We're on Spotify. They're all on Spotify. It's a wonderful time. You can join our Facebook group, The Strange Space, where we do
pretty much nothing.
But if you want to join it, just, you know, to be fancy, go ahead. And with that, I think we'll talk to you next time.
And stay strange.
Thank you.